Bo Hess.
And now the end is near.
Bo.
Felger and Mass. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Brady's delayed episode 6 of Tom versus Time because why?
All right, so this is from Gautam Chopra, the guy who produced it. Everyone keeps asking me about Chapter 6, Tom versus Time, when it's going to be ready. The truth is, we had a plan, but unconsciously it was tied to the Patriots winning the Super Bowl. And when that didn't happen, congrats, Eagles, in parentheses, I felt like we needed to pause and recalibrate.
So it never occurred to these guys that they would lose the game.
Didn't occur to Belichick either, apparently.
Wow.
Roll out there with Jordan Richards.
Talk about hubris. Talk about overconfidence.
Oh my gosh, please.
Talk about karma. You plan episode 6 for after the Super Bowl, but only script is written only if you win. Like, wow.
Yeah, I thought they were just going to, like, insert either way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They had one ending if they win, one ending if they lose. Like, what had happened if they lost in the AFC title game to Jacksonville? What was going to happen then?
4 episodes. like, what's the deal? All right, let's zip through these calls. Bill in Dover. Go, Bill.
Hey, we talked a lot about the fallout for the players, coaches, and organizations, but what about our personal fallout for our lost bets? I own a dog daycare business, and on my public live webcam, I now, next Thursday at 3 p.m., have to dance in a pink tutu, and the whole world can watch me.
I got porked, too.
Webcam.
Yeah, you're out of your money. I got porked on the bet, too. So that's insult to injury. The money line hit on top of it all.
Bob, I won on the Super Bowl grid.
Did you?
Yep, twice.
Bob and
Quiz.
East. Go ahead, Bob. What do you got?
Felger, congratulations. You've convinced Adam from Brockton to be part of your moronic moron team about Tim Tebow. About if he had the right coach.
I didn't say that. He said that.
I know. But you both are on your moronic island that Tim Tebow is actually a good quarterback. But Gasper, do me a favor. Can you enlighten me again and repeat what you said earlier in the show? Can you give me your video game Madden analysis about the Patriots again? Now, I want to make sure I think I have this right. They would rather have somebody who's less athletic but coachable as opposed to somebody who's athletic and not as coachable?
You don't think that's partly true, Bob?
Yes.
Oh, that's totally true.
Yeah.
Isn't that the problem with a lot of players in the NFL where they may be hopefully they'll let you answer because what you said was as dumb as Ron Borges did.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. So somebody in the organization told me that for the Jamie Collins deal. So it's true. So that's you might not like it. It might kind of hurt your feelings a little bit as a Patriots fan, but that's what they're saying.
It doesn't hurt my feelings. It's what you said actually flies in the face of why the Patriots are successful. They don't need the most athletic football player. They need.
Yeah, they certainly didn't need him on Sunday. Yeah, no athleticism wouldn't have helped them at all.
Gasper,
those guys executed the defense to a T, right?
No, but you're the expert. Hold on. So let me ask you.
Sure.
You think if Butler, they lost that game because Butler didn't play?
I never said that.
I'm asking you. Do you think so?
I think it contributed to the defeat. Yes, they didn't put their best defense out there. Yes, he's more talented. He's a better tackler. He's more talented than some of the guys who are out there.
So how do you know if Butler? How do Felger and Mass, too? How do you know if Butler plays that game, they don't lose by more? See, this is what I can't stand. You know, Belichick made a decision, okay? And you know what? 9 out of 10 times he's right. So he made a decision. But for you guys to assume if Butler played, they win that game is moronic.
Who is assuming that?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever said that.
Did anybody assume that?
Guys, you're talking about sitting Butler. Why did he sit him? If he plays, they win that game.
Hey, Bob.
No,
Bob, what are you talking about?
No one ever said that. They did not put themselves in the best position to win. That's all I've said. Would Butler have won the game for him or not? I don't know. I can't recreate history. I do know that they did not put themselves in the best position to win that game, period. That's all. And so it contributed to the loss, and we don't know what it would have been. All I know is that wasn't their best team that they could have fielded.
I'll go that far, if you may. Just real quick, third down in the third quarter, about 11 minutes to go. Johnson Bademosi misses a tackle. They end up picking up the first down. They score on that drive. If that's Malcolm Butler, he makes that tackle. They get a stop there. One stop is all you needed. One. I have to think Malcolm Butler gets a stop.
See, what I know is that Malcolm Butler is better than Bademosi or Jordan Richards, and they were on the field, and he wasn't. That's what I know.
Yeah, I think that's putting it succinctly. I mean, that's part of it. But it's also, it's not just my point is not just about the Butler decision. It's overall about the defense and what you've done with defensive personnel. Now, look, part of that, as I mentioned, was because you had an injury, Hightower. Part of it is because there's a guy that retired, Ninkovich. But part of it is because you let more physically talented guys walk out the door. You know, you actually, you didn't let them walk out the door. You traded them away. You got rid of them. So that catches up to you eventually. There's only so many times and so much you can do with the Eric Lees. And you know what stuck out to me in this game? Alandon Roberts played 44 of the 75 snaps. Is Alandon Roberts a 44-snap player?
Nope.
But he had to be because that was one of their better options. Like, there's not enough talent there.
Well, so they tried to get it. I mean, that's why David Harris was here. You know, and I think they go get David Harris because they know that Dante Hightower can't be, you know, counted on to play 16 games. So they spend a little bit of money. They gave him a couple $1 million.
Sure.
In this case, they just picked the wrong guy. They just picked the wrong guy. So
they picked the wrong guy with McClellan, too. And I'm not just saying it because he got hurt. I wish the guy well. I hope he's back on the field. But let's talk about Super Bowl 51. The first play, that toss, crack, sweep. I mean, he got benched in that game. He got benched in Super Bowl 51. So that's a guy they picked, too.
So, but I mean, the Butler thing is glaring. He is your second best corner, and he never saw the field. Why?
See, their philosophy on,
again. Why,
Chris? The philosophy you're talking about.
Yes,
it works against Jay Cutler, Tyrod Taylor, Bryce Petty. It works against bums that don't have a lot of places to throw the ball.
And Bill thought it would work against Nick Foles.
Except that Foles had more talent in the skill positions than those guys did.
Yeah.
He had Ertz and he had Jeffrey. And not that Ajayi's anything great, but Clement can catch the ball. There were too many guys to cover, and the Patriots didn't have enough players.
They also couldn't get any pass rush. You know, that's, to me, the undertold story of that game is that the Eagles owned the line of scrimmage. Like, it's fun to look at the flashy plays and Philly special and all that stuff, but the Patriots couldn't get anywhere near Foles, and the offensive line did a good job, I think, for the Patriots, but Brady was still a little rushed, and when the game was on the line, when the money was on the table, Brandon Graham got there and made the play that decided the Super Bowl. And the Eagles went into that game, they invested more money, more cap space into the offensive and defensive lines than any other team in the NFL, and it paid off.
So Chris was saying this earlier, I think he said it off the air. Go back and look at the Super Bowls they've won. Almost every one they've won, there's a significant defensive play.
The defense has to make a play.
There's always a defensive play in it, every single one of them.
Yep.
Ty Law, pick six, Mike Vrabel, strip sack.
Yep.
You know, we'll go right down the line. Malcolm
Rodney
Butler.
Harrison clinches it against Philly the first time. Harrison had two picks in that game.
Malcolm Butler, Dante Hightower, strip sack. There's one in every game. There wasn't a single one in this game. Not one. Because you know why? Because when the Patriots are vulnerable on defense, they lose. They lose.
It's not just, yeah. And you decided to go down with Johnson Bademosi as opposed to Malcolm Butler. Why?
But there's also the other thing on Butler I want to say quickly, too. And I'm not sure if someone like Bob understands. It's not just, you know, okay, these other guys are in there. It's like, so now Patrick Chung is playing the star position.
Slot, Bob.
Is he as good at playing that position as he is playing somewhere else? I didn't think he was. I mean, I remember covering the team the first time he was here. I think it was 2010. They tried to play him at the star against the Colts. And anybody remember? Murray would remember. You remember Blair White for the Indianapolis Colts?
Oh, sure, no. Yeah.
Yeah. Blair White had, now the Patriots ended up winning the game, but Blair White caught two touchdowns on him. And so he's good, but there's a limit there. Like, you're asking the guy to do something he can do, but he can't do it at as high a level as he can do his regular job. So there's a trickle-down effect when you make a decision like that.
Yeah, and it's a tough one. A tough loss, and it turns out Belichick made a bad decision for probably the wrong reason, and that's a hard one. It's a hard one to swallow. I get it. Gasper, do we have a Murray and Gasper extravaganza tomorrow?
Yes, we do, and Celtics show at noon. Got a lot to cover with all the trade stuff and see how the Celtics play tonight. I want to get Chris's theory on my crackpot theory about the correlation between Belichick and Brady and benching Butler.
I love it.
And
get ready for the psychologist couch. There,
okay.
Put your feet up, Gasper.
I want to know what he thinks about Hollywood Gronk. So we're going to do all that starting tomorrow at 11.
I'm excited already.
Quickly, do you think Gronk has any chance to retire here? Or is this strictly...
I mean, I think there's a chance. There's wear and tear in his body. But I think if they were to come back to him with a nice, fat, guaranteed contract, I think he'd play another year or two.
Okay, Murray and Gasper tomorrow. More of your calls right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mads on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
No, Katie. It's not me. I have man in my name. Manti Te'o. Don't you remember that, Katie? I'm a man. Strong man. Many leather-bound books. library. You come over to my house sometime. Hope you enjoy the sweet smell of mahogany. Yes, I enjoy sex with women, Katie. How dare you ask me that question? No! Katie, you are funny.
That's what it was like.
No,
his voice drops a couple octaves.
Far from it. Far from it, Katie.
How did it really go again?
Are you gay?
No. Far from it.
Far from it.
Very far.
Katie. No. You come over, we'll have a glass of scotch together. Show you how to put some hair on your chest, Katie.
It's that second far.
Far from it.
See how long I can enunciate those words, Katie? That's because I have an Adam's apple. I'm a man. I'm a man, Katie.
Well, it was in the days of Beatle, before Big Jim Murray came along. Manti Te'o with a fake girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever the hell. I still don't know what the hell was going on with that.
Our shining baby beetle.
Ron Borges, the Boston Herald, was a victim overnight. I'm sure you know the story by now. Really promising story breaks late last night, right before I go to bed. Promising in terms of sports radio and talkability and good story. Boston Herald, Tom Brady, show me the money. With Jimmy G, deal done. Brady wants to get paid. And I'm one of those people that still gets a little baby dinosaur at my door in the morning. You're watching on NBC Sports Boss on the simulcast. That kid's called a newspaper. They actually print words on little pieces of paper, and then you can read it, actually read it and walk around with it. They still do this, and some people still get it delivered to their home. And so because I got an early edition before the... I don't know, did they pull it from the paper? Did they even pull it? Is it in all editions?
No, I think it's in all editions. It got pulled from the website.
Okay, so, you know, page one, Brady to Pats, open the wallet. Borges, in wake of Jimmy G's deal, sources say TB12 playing hardball. And show me the money on the back page with the dollar sign show. Of course, old tabloid trick. Great story. I read it last night. And then when I found out it was fake, I read it again. I'm like, this is great. What a shame. What a shame. What a way to cap off a week with all sorts of crap, Murray. Flying around with this team, the Celtics, Isaiah, like just a...
It was believable.
Oh, well, you know, it was never believable to me.
Really?
It wasn't. And you can, I have proof of this. You can go to my social media site where I do. I don't give you the name because I'm an investor in it. But you can find it my Twitter account directs you to it. And you can just probably Google it or whatever. But you can go back and you can watch. Last night when I saw the story, I linked to it. And my exact words were, love Borges, probably has a legit source, but I don't believe it. That's what I said.
Well, there's certainly no history there with Brady ever, you know, threatening any kind of a holdout. But with everything that's gone on,
basically,
especially this week, that's why I wouldn't have been surprised.
Ron Borges says, according to sources, that Tom Brady's willing to sit out the OTAs off-season camp unless he receives a contract that carries with it upfront money similar to what his former protege, Jimmy Garoppolo, got yesterday in San Francisco. Turns out it was a caller to the Kirk and Callahan show that texted him and then apparently spoke to him as Don Yee. And convinced Ron that he was Don Yee, and Ron went with it, and the Herald has had to retract the story, and they've suspended Ron Borges, and that happened in the last 24 hours. And again, you know, I feel bad for Ron. I do. But by the same token, Maz, I mean, you got to say, it's not the first time he's been caught. Like, this.
No, listen, he made a colossal mistake. What do you want me to tell you? I'm not defending that part of it. Like, to me, that part is clear now. You know, again, he got snookered. He totally bought in. The guy tricked him. He believed it, and that was it. So if you're wrong, do you reflect on it and say, where did I make the mistake? Of course. You check it out somewhere else. That said, I told you. Now, look, I as someone who, you know, and you were in the same boat, for a long period of time, you covered a team. And you know that you're at the mercy of the people who tell you stuff. If they feed you bad info...
Yeah, but this isn't... I mean, I've gotten plenty of stuff wrong. Because a team executive thought they had a deal done and they didn't. And that's different than just taking a blind text.
Sure, it is. Totally. It's totally different. At the same time, it really does make... If someone wants to set you up, they're going to set you up. They're going to set you up. They'll find a way to make you believe it.
So look, I'm on Ron's side on this, but I don't fully agree with you. I mean, that wasn't much of a setup. It was a single text from a single person.
Okay, listen, again, I'm not telling you it is, but I also think it says a lot. And again, maybe this is obvious. That's really what you're looking to do? Take time out of your day to make someone look bad?
I got no use for the kid. Like, I got no use for, like, that's self-evident. Like, that's obvious. He's not my issue. He's not. My issue is that I've been screwed out of a good story. Because this was a good story, and it was written in typical Ron Borges fashion, which is well-written. I know more than you. I have the story. You don't. I told you I was right. Like, it has all the Borges elements, all the Borgian elements. And there's even some of it that I still think are true. That I don't. Have you read the text exchange between him and whoever the caller was?
Yeah.
Nick in Boston or whatever?
Yeah.
So, like, there's a stuff. I don't know. So you tell me if some of the stuff was in there or not. But let me just read it to you. TB12 now wants to be paid or sit out OTAs. That should have been the because I never believed that. What I believed was this, again, when I read this at midnight, was that things are sideways down there right now in Foxborough. Everyone is sort of pissed off at each other. As you said earlier, Maz, kicking up dirt. They lost the game. It's been a rough year internally. And so now it's just sort of funky town down there this week. And so that means Tom Brady woke up yesterday and said, you know what? This time I'm not taking the cheese. I want to get paid by this team. After seeing Jimmy and Tom somewhere, somehow said something to the effect of, nope, this time I'm getting paid. And Ron went with it. I never believed, and I still don't believe, that Brady would ever make an issue of it. I thought maybe it's a one-day thing where he said something.
Or someone in his camp said
something. But he would never follow through with it. Brady has never missed time for a contract, and he never will, especially now.
See, that's what I thought. I thought it was someone in his camp that said, Brady's pissed off, here's what's going on, and maybe in the spring he'll think about it, and that was the story.
Well, the text from Fake Don Yee reads as, Brady is prepared to sit out all off-season team activity unless he gets a new deal with upfront money similar to what Jimmy got.
See, I mean, I just don't think Brady would ever, ever, ever do that. And anyone who told me that, I would be dubious of. He's not going to sit now. He's not going to sit now. What? He hasn't sat in 18 years over this. He's going to do it now when he just wants to play a couple more years and extend his legacy and grow the brand? So this is not the time he's going to pitch a fit over a contract. It's just not. It's not going to happen. So I didn't believe the story. But it was a good story. Written in Tom in typical Ron Borges fashion. The dominoes are about to continue their Foxborough freefall. Well-written, good lead.
Which might be true anyway.
The dominoes are about to continue their Foxborough freefall. Tom Brady wants to get paid. Period. Paragraph. According to sources close to the league's most valuable player, Brady is ready to sit out all of this year's offseason organized team activities unless he receives a contract extension that carries with it upfront money similar to what his protege got in San Francisco. And then Borges goes in through a whole bunch of background of the Garoppolo trade. Did Nick in Boston get to anything in the Garoppolo trade?
Not that I saw.
No, not based on these texts.
Okay,
no.
So Ron, I'm going to read you three or four paragraphs on the Garoppolo trade that I think I'm stupid to trust Borges. I'm stupid. But I think he has the stuff on the Garoppolo trade right that's in this column.
Okay, go.
Because that's not Nick in Boston to give him any of this. But anyway, some of the Nick in Boston stuff. He said, the Josh McDaniels dust-up this week, according to someone familiar with that situation, was in part orchestrated by Brady's insistence he be retained as head coach in waiting. Did Nick in Boston give him that?
I don't think so. I'm looking at some of these texts now. No.
Actually, we just heard that from Chris in Boston, meaning Gasper. Gasper just came in and said the exact same thing, that McDaniels is here because Brady wants him.
Yeah, and Gasper's not the only one saying that. Other guys around that team are saying similar things.
So this isn't from Nick in Boston either. He said the Josh McDaniels dust-up, according to someone familiar with that situation, was in part orchestrated by Brady's insistence to be retained as head coach in waiting. Then came the odd scenario where at the 11th hour, owner Robert Kraft and Belichick sat down with McDaniels and put on an all-court press to retain him after he'd already agreed to coach the Colts and begun hiring assistants. Borges says, what took them so long to notice he was packing? What took them so long to realize his importance to Brady and the organization? What took so long for Belichick to decide he needed to mentor, air quotes, McDaniels more thoroughly in things like roster building and the drafting and scouting? He says, regardless, one thing is now apparent. Soon-to-be 41-year-old Tom Brady decided to finally adopt a policy once best explained by NBA star Daryl Dawkins. And this is great. Borges always quotes other guys, it's usually boxers, but other athletes from other sports with a funny sort of knockoff quote that explains the situation. Dawkins quote, man got to get paid for what he do, Dawkins wisely once said.
Yep.
Typical Borges. I'm like, this is great. This is my typical Borges column. Love it. Love it. It just turns out it was phony. Except the thing about McDaniels wasn't in the Nick in Boston tweets, you're saying, right? Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, not in the screen grab I saw.
And then he goes...
Yeah, there's only two screens I've seen.
And Daryl Dawkins did say that, I think.
So I think this column's 75% true. 75%!
Seems high.
No! No! That part was right. Here he explains the Garoppolo trade. As the trade deadline approached in October, the decision was made by the Patriots to cut the potential losses at Garoppolo's looming free agency. Their choice was either deal him then at the deadline, face losing him for nothing after the season, or slap him with the franchise tag, a move that would have cost the team $25 million against the cap. If the latter were the case and a deal could not be made to trade him under the cap, right, he would either have to ultimately be released by the Patriots or face a potential spring fire sale or massive contract renegotiations. Here's Borges writing. Having been told by ownership that Brady could not be released or traded and Garoppolo could not be franchised, Bill Belichick found himself boxed in. He cut his losses by shipping the Patriots quarterback in waiting to the 49ers for a second round choice and backup Brian Hoyer. Did Nick in Boston text him that?
No, this is the only things that he has here is just basically is that Brady was prepared to sit out. That was really the meat of any of these texts that I've
and
seen.
And that Schefter would have the story next week.
Yeah, so Ron responds, sounds like I need to write a column today. And the fake Don Yee says, up to you, old friend. Schefty will probably have it by next week.
Schefty. Is Don Yee going to call him Schefty? Come on, Ron! Come on!
Felgie.
He had the rest of the stuff. So the McDaniels thing wasn't from Nick in Boston.
So that scenario he described with Garoppolo is exactly what we sort of thought.
I mean, don't you think, but that's what everyone thinks?
Yeah.
Where he really, you know, so do you know the backstory about
Don? I mean, the Garoppolo thing, like anyone with a half a brain knows that that's sort of the deal. It was made clear to Belichick, you're not getting rid of Brady and we're not franchising Garoppolo. I mean, like.
So you figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at no point did Robert say trade him for a bag of hockey pucks. Like he ended up doing, which is why Kraft ultimately said, well, that I was taken aback, as he told Peter King. And so, you know, why did Belichick make that horrible trade? The Krafts never told him to make a horrible trade. They just told him, you can't get rid of Brady and you can't franchise Garoppolo. Make the best of it. And then Bill went out and did not make the best of it. But anyway, good, typical Borges stuff. I can't trust any of it now. It sucks. Go ahead.
I'm just looking at this. You know, now that I know the backstory of Don Yee and his upbringing, and he was literally a bat boy for this like minor league team in Sacramento where he grew up, he got tripped up. He should have known he was getting tripped up in the first few texts. It says, hello, Ron, this is Don Yee. He responds, the bat boy of the Solons or whatever that team was. And this fake Don Yee responds, bat boy was real, sir, with a little bat emoji. I mean, that's the bat boy is something you see on all these tabloids.
Right, so he didn't pick up, I don't know what that means, but he didn't pick up on Ron's reference.
No, not at all.
He was referencing something else.
Yeah. Yeah, he was referencing something ridiculous, like bat boy. You used to see it back in the 80s and 90s on all the tabloids. Like, bat boy is real. And it was like a boy that looked like they drew to look like half bat, half boy, and went like, rah! So this fake Don Yee writes, bat boy was real, sir, with a little bat emoji. And Ron, so horny for information, was like, how you been? Long time, no talk. I'm good. About to get this contract for Jimmy. About to get this contract for Jimmy. Like, talking like he's on the streets. About to get that money. I'm sorry to laugh. Like, I kind of feel bad for him. But, I mean, come on, man. You should have known within the first few texts you were being played.
Look, I reported plenty of crap and got plenty of stuff wrong as a reporter, as all of it. But come on, Maz.
Oh, listen, I told you.
You can't fall for that one.
No, so listen, I'm not defending that part of it. I just think it's a sucky world if it's reached the point where some donkey sitting on his couch decides, I'm going to get someone suspended for his job. Like, because, again, you know, look, deadline pressure, everything else, I can see falling for it. I can. Now, this might be an extreme case. I'm not telling you what he did was defensible. He effed up. No two ways about it.
But again, the highest for us, it's just we got robbed out of another very Felger and Mazian kind of story. Tabloid, show me the money, dollar sign, Borges, Jimmy G deal done, Brady wants to get paid, perfect, right up our alley, taken right out from underneath us. I feel violated. Never mind, boy, I feel like we got screwed.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
All right, let's wrap it up with your calls before we hit the final word. Charlie in Fall River has been waiting patiently here on an agenda-free Friday to talk Bruins. Charlie, thanks for hanging on. What do you got?
No problem, Mike. Hey, listen, you guys touched on that article earlier about Julian's dinosauric system.
Yeah.
I think the real difference here with Cassidy is the way he integrates young players. And you guys were talking about how Bergeron looks so much better this year. I think it's the system. I think he's just having fun. And I think if you know, when they took the interim tag off of Cassidy's title and they gave him the full job, they didn't release the terms of the contract. Now, if it's not, if it only goes through, say, like next season, do you think it's wise for the Bruins to maybe extend them now? Because it makes it real costly if they wait.
Well, now, but or after the year, they won't let him go. If he has a good year and they finish strong, they won't let him go into the walk year. They'll take care of him before that last year.
Yeah, no way. You can't let any coach go into the walk year that you want to keep.
So, Charlie, I think Bergeron looks much better offensively because he's being used more offensively. There are stats out there. I don't have them at the top of my head, but offensive zone starts versus defensive zone starts. And it's really just how you're used as the coach. Julian used him really as the defensive stopper. So if there was a defensive zone faceoff, he'd be out there taking that defensive zone draw. Top line is out on the ice. Bergeron's out on the ice. Cassidy isn't as beholden to that. Cassidy has him taking more offensive zone starts, has him more out there against other lines versus the top line.
Correct.
And so he's allowed to be more of an offensive player. He's also used on the power play more of a weapon than he's ever been with that right slot where he's in that right slot that he's a bumper, but he fires from there too off his back foot. They've developed that. He's developed that shot that is like deadly.
I mean, just inside the right wing faceoff circle. I don't know how many goals he's scored on that this year, but it's a ton.
Anthony in Medford. Go, Anthony.
Yeah, Mike. This loss bothers me the most because we know the Belichick and Brady era is coming to an end. And of course, 6-2 is a lot better than 5-3. And I'm really surprised. Look at Brady, you know, winning. You were saying the car. I knew that contract, it wasn't there because he's all about winning. And if he took all that money, like Jimmy G money, there'd be nothing to go around. I know you can move with the cap. But Bill, I'm surprised his arrogance, his ego. I really thought winning was the most to him. Now, come on, he isn't stupid, Mike. He knows that Butler could have made at least one play. That tackle on Anguilla in 3rd and 7 are all the 4 plays that Jordan Richards missed.
Anthony, you're giving me 14 different things again. Pick one of them.
No, he gets my head spinning. Look, what I'll tell you with Belichick, the thing that stuns me, and I shouldn't say stuns me, is that as the game wore on, he couldn't bring himself to make the change. He couldn't bring himself to put Butler in. And again, that is that whole attitude of, I'm going to win in spite of you.
He felt he was going to win. It's not like he sabotaged the game. He felt he was going to win on his terms.
Right, like, you know, I can't lose. I know what I'm doing. And the idea, you know, look, that's all well and good. It's part of the reason he is who he is. But if you take that too far, you don't recognize your own vulnerability, and that's what happened to him.
Paul in Bridgewater. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I just want to talk real quick about, first thing, Butler. I couldn't agree more with you, Felger, about Butler. He should have started the game. Whether they would have won the game or not, who cares? He should have started. It was Belichick's worst public mistake he's ever made. And let's talk about the cornerback a little bit. Felger, you would admit this. When you always talk about it, you go back to when they let Asante Samuel go because supposedly he couldn't tackle people. They went year after year, second, third-round picks, wasting picks. He had the worst draft for like 5 or 6 years in a row. And they couldn't draft a corner. Finally, they get a corner who walks on the field for them. Walks on the field. They don't even draft a guy, and he turns out to be an all-pro. So what does Belichick do? He saves their Super Bowl, and he makes them sick. The worst mistake the guy's ever made in his professional career, as far as I'm concerned. And this will go on.
Well, no, it just may stop there. I don't care about Butler starting. If like, proving that point is sort of silly. You're not going to start him like this is high school, but fine. Don't start him if you feel you need to not start him for whatever reason. And still, who the hell knows? But once you're getting torched, and you can't stop anyone, and you're on the way to giving up 41 points to a backup quarterback, you don't at one point try and take Johnson Bademosi off the field or move Chung out of the slot. Like,
whatever your beef is, swallow your pride and put the better player in.
Oh, my God. I mean, you have him in uniform. It's one thing if that's why I said from day one, from the first second, if he's not worthy, send him home. But standing there on the bench, so what? You're just there to humiliate him? Like what? It's mind-numbing.
No, and Belichick's willingness to do that in the past, his willingness to bring someone off the bench, is what spawned Butler's career in the first place. Right? Again, Kyle Arrington wasn't playing well. He pulled his ass out of the game, put Butler in. That's how the whole thing started, for crying out loud. Then you get to the Super Bowl, and you have Bademosi and Richards out there, and they're not playing well, and you let Butler sit there? How do you justify that?
It's indefensible.
All these Bruins people have been waiting. Nathan in Fall River, go.
Yeah, two quick things. You guys had a caller. I called in saying that Bruce Cassidy was going to win the Jack Adams Award, even though I love to see him win it. It's probably not going to be him. It's probably going to be the guy from Vegas, because for the first year, they had an incredible year. And everybody in the NHL was like, oh, Vegas. And number two, real quick, what do you think about trading for Hoffman of the Senators?
Love him.
He would be a nice addition, and he's a veteran.
Love him. Let me give you two targets. And Gallant is going to win the Coach of the Year. Cassie's not going to win it. Gallant's in Vegas. Hoffman of Ottawa and McDonough, the defenseman in New York. And I just, a friend of mine sent me something really amazing. Is it Glenn Sather or the GM there or the president? He's been kicked upstairs. And
of the Rangers.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Right. The Rangers front office, as I fumble around here, sent out a letter to their season ticket holders saying basically, we're going to trade some familiar faces at the deadline. Please stick with us. I mean, I'm just encapsulating like a 1,000-word letter. But it was signed by Glenn Sather, president, Jeff Gordon, general manager. And basically, they say, as we approach the trade deadline later this month and into the summer, we will be focused on adding young, competitive players that combine speed, skill, and character. This may mean we lose some familiar faces, guys we all care about and respect. While this is part of the game, it's never easy. Our promise is that you, blah, 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 blah. But they basically sent a letter to their season ticket holders saying, we're about to blow it up.
I don't think I've ever seen anything that transparent in sports ever.
Unless I just got catfished.
No, it's real. I've actually.
Thank you. I got to check every time now.
Yeah, no, I know. No, this is legit.
So this is real, right?
Yeah.
I love it.
So, right? I mean, it's like from a Ranger standpoint, it's a whole other Ranger story. But does that mean a guy like Ryan McDonough is available? Or
sure.
Rick Nash? Or, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
So Rash is, Nash is a passer through there, right? I mean, they acquired him by trade, you know, and now his contract's up. See you later.
For
he's
Bruins,
an easy one.
For the Bruins, Ryan McDonough. That's the guy I want.
So he's a left-shot defenseman. I looked it up. He's got a year beyond this one, too. 5-1 and 5-3. The balance of 5-1. So,
that's good money.
And the cap hits 4-7.
Oh, that's a great contract for a good player. Is he
their captain?
I think he is.
He is.
I think he is. You know, he's a number one defenseman on most teams. He's just... I love him. He's been through how many playoff wars? I mean, again, they've never won there, but in the letter, they say we've been to three conference finals and a cup final. He was a part of most of those, all of them.
He's his late 20s, and he's never been a minus player.
Oh, I love him. So that's a kind of pickup. Like, you put that guy in your second pair? Nice.
Okay, that's going to cost you something.
It's going to cost you. I don't know. Can you dupe the Rangers into thinking Ryan Spooner is a good young player? Or Matt Grzelcyk is a young defenseman worth building around? Like, I don't know. Probably not. That's a question for the Bruins. I mean, how much... You might win the President's Trophy. You are a legit cup contender now, it looks like. Are you obligated to add to this team and really go for it? And now the question becomes, how much you interrupt the program that you've put in place to get here in the first place?
I mean, to me, the answer to are you obligated is yes, of course. Yes, you got to help the team. No two ways about it. To me, it's more of a question, the second thing you said, of what length do you go to? And I just think, you know, this is where it gets tough now for Sweeney. Okay, you've drafted well. You get a bunch of people there. Pick the right ones.
Okay, here comes the final word, a great Mad Mike and Squeaky Maz that you don't want to miss.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No one says it like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you nuts?
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
So just a couple of things Twitter-related I wanted to reference real quick in talking about the Ron Borges story. There was a third screen from the fake Don Yee. I didn't see it until someone sent it to me. And one of those read, Brady Force Kraft's hand with McDaniels. 12 was not going to return unless McDaniels was named coach in waiting. So
farts.
My bad. Didn't know that one.
So he got that one from Nick in Boston, too.
Yeah, so you might want to dial back that. You still think 75% of that column
is... All right, we're down to 40. He got 40% of it right.
Yeah.
Damn it.
And the other
I'm still going with it. I still think it's worthy of a segment. Gasper said the same thing, that Brady wanted McDaniels anyway. So
he's not the only one.
I'm going with it.
I've talked to other people who cover that team, or at least I think they do.
11 of 12 hosts on the station agree.
Who said the same thing? Good God. Oh, believe me, I've reported some stuff over the years that Shaky the Clown.
One source and go. And the other thing is the reason I'm wearing a coat, I'm tired of it being a meat locker in here. This is what I'm doing from now on.
You know it's Maz.
Yeah, I know. And I'm sick of the thermostat war, so I'm just going to wear a coat.
The first thing I do when once our show starts at night is turn the heat up.
Oh, yeah.
Every night.
You guys are a bunch of babies.
No, Maz runs exceptionally hot.
Okay, fine. But you bring a pullover, you put it on, no problem. Nanook of the North over here looks like he just crawled out of his igloo for crying out loud. Holy crap.
Look
at you.
Yeah, no, this is what it's going to be from now on.
You want me to get your neck warmer, too, whoopee-whoopee?
No, from now on, hot coffees from Dunks, too. All right, here's a Mad Mike Squeaky Maz combo getting all angry about the trick play. Not Philly special, but, you know, the other one that didn't work.
That's getting too cute.
Perfect, isn't it?
We're going to do the same thing that we did to them 4 years ago.
There were 12 minutes to go in the second quarter. It was 9-3.
That being said, I didn't mind the Patriots play call there. Make the play? Was it a perfect throw?
Close.
No. Why are you trying to lead Tom Brady perfectly in stride down the field? The guy's a dinosaur, man. Make him stop and fair catch the ball.
See, but that's part of the reason I didn't like it at that stage of the game. It's 9-3, and it's what, at max, it's what, a 15-yard game? Use that at a time where you really need it. Not that stage of the game.
Oh, you mean like Philly did?
Yes. Brady's chucking the ball all over the field. I mean, you can get whatever you want. Just get the first down. What are you doing? And they run for it on fourth down anyway, and then threw the ball down the sideline to Gronk. So I look at it and say, you're the Patriots. What the hell are you doing?
It's not what they do, and even if they completed it...
They had just gotten a three and out! If Philly went on, they got him off, boom, here we go, we get the ball back, drive down and score! What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
I didn't mind, the play was there!
What do you gain?
Throw it underhand and catch the ball and take a knee!
What do you gain there? 15 yards, great. Yay, woohoo! At least the Eagles got a touchdown out of theirs. Like, great, you get 15 yards. Now you're still going to go in and get the touchdown. Whoop-de-doo!
Perfect, isn't it?
No!
Yes!
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.